I greet you all this morning in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad to be here today. I'm so glad for the PCMF and for them leading us today. I've been part of a lot of Presbyterian churches, especially with the Men's Fellowship. And so it's a great blessing to be here. And also to see some of the men here who have done Man Enough. We have a greeting in Man Enough when we say 1, 2, 3. The men say? All right. Ahu. ladies, maybe you can, I'm sure you can do that as well, but this is for the men. So I'm glad to be here, really blessed to be able to share God's word. I'm married to Sophia. Between us, we have 3 children, and they send me with greetings this morning. I want to quickly go into God's word and share today about raising men of integrity. Raising men of integrity. As you've been taught, I'm part of Transform Missions, and one of our key things is to help see that more men of integrity around the country are raised. What is the state of men today? I know that some of you have heard about the boy child and the crisis of a boy child. Well, I've been at the forefront in experiencing some of the challenges the young men and the older men are experiencing. For example, recently I was in a church near Kiambu, which had about 350 people in attendance. And I was surprised by the men who were there, because there were only 22 men in the church. That was a men's Sunday, so all of them had been taught to come. But there are only 22 out of 350. And that's not the only place. There are many other churches that are struggling in getting the men involved. Even though they might be there, but getting them involved. So I'm grateful for the Presbyterian Church that a lot of men are getting involved. But it's not only in the church where we are finding a challenge with the men. What about education? Recently, I was in a school graduation, and they were giving awards to in this school where there were more boys in the school than there were girls. And they gave 10 awards to the students who had done the best. Do you know how many of them went to the boys? Only 2 out of 10. So later I asked the teacher, why is it you seem to be segregating against the boys? I said, the boys, I invited them to play. We even had to lower the marks a little bit for the boys to be able to get to the top. And this is not only in education. There's another person who told me recently that he teaches a class on engineering, and out of a class of 60 students, there were only 5 who were male. The rest were female. And he was getting concerned as well. The marketplace, recently I was invited by one of the banks to come and talk to the men in the bank. And as we, before he introduced me, the HR director said, you know, we are a bit concerned about our bank because the last 2 years, almost 80% of all new recruits have been female. And we're a little concerned about it. And he said there's one of the branches which has 42 staff. One of the branches, and guess how many of them are men? 2. The branch manager and one of the security guards. That's what he said. We seem to have some issue, some attack on the men on our day, whether it's passivity at home and in relationships, maybe in the family, a lot of complaints, a lot of ladies who are looking for good men. Recently, I was invited to a single ladies meeting, and one of the things they asked me, can you tell us how to get those good men? We're looking for them and we cannot find them, and we are Christians. Where are they? And one of them told me, if you could help me find one of them, I really want to get married this year. A lot of young women who are looking for good men, they seem to be rare. Maybe they have not been here to this church. There seems to be many good men here. But when it comes to crime and drugs, you will find the majority of those, 92% of everybody in Kenyan prisons is male. That means a lot of the people in crime and other issues would be men. It reminds me of Exodus chapter 1, reminds me of a Pharaoh, Rosa, who did not know Joseph. What did he say? How can we deal with this Israel so that they don't become mighty and in case of a war, they join with our friends and they take over the country? And he came up with a strategy. He said two things. Number one, we're going to enslave and oppress the people, and mainly the men who are the ones who are working. We're going to enslave them and give them so much work that they have no time to think of freedom. So enslave the men. But number two, he said, we're going to destroy the boys. And he went to the to those who deliver the children, midwives. And he told them, if a boy is being born, kill him. If a girl is being born, let her live. Say to the midwives. So it seemed like Pharaoh had a strategy. Enslave, oppress the men, destroy the boys, and then you control society. Because then the women will be longing for fathers, the children longing for fathers, the women for husbands, and the society will have no men. It seems like a strategic decision or strategy of the enemy is to destroy the men. Some years ago, why I'm very passionate about men, I went to a women's conference in Tanzania, and I asked them to give me prayer requests. So they wanted me to come and pray. So I carried many prayer requests in a sack. And it took me 3 months to pray through them. And as I prayed, I began to realize all of these women, they seemed to be praying for a man. 90% of the prayer requests was, pray for my dad, pray for my uncle, pray for my son, pray for my husband. It was about a man somewhere. And I got concerned. It's not like women also don't have issues to pray for. No, but a lot of women pray for the men, because if the men go right, then society will be at a much better place. What are some of the challenges that has brought us here? And I'll quickly talk about the men of integrity. The fatherhood crisis. When fathers are not there to train their young men how to be men, then there's a crisis. There's a problem. And we seem to have a big need of fatherhood. I was raised up without a father. My father died when I was 8 years old. And I was longing to understand what it means to be a man. Because there's no father to model that for me. Fathers play a very important role. And so it took the music teacher in high school to come and talk to me and embrace me, the first embrace of a male adult that I ever got, and tell me that I could become a lawyer. He became like a father to me. And once he affirmed me that I could become a lawyer, I decided to become a lawyer, because my music teacher was a father figure affirmed me. A lot of young people, a lot of people, men even, who don't have a father, there's a father longing. And when there's a fatherhood crisis, then it affects the quality of masculinity. I believe the quality of masculinity in any society is directly proportional to the fatherhood in that society. What about societal changes? A lot has changed, and in many ways has affected the men. Recently, I was in a meeting and I asked the men, would you marry a woman who is earning more than you? And a lot of them said no. They would be afraid. And yet, changes have happened that the man is not the only provider. The woman also would be providing. In fact, between 25 and 31, according to a study 2 years ago of the people in Nairobi, the females are earning a lot more than the males. That means many of our young men will probably marry someone who is earning more than them. But these societal changes have brought some challenges to our understanding of masculinity. Men only get socialized in a structured way, and that's why in our cultures we had rites of passage and rika and things like that to socialize the men. Men don't just socialize on themselves. Women do. My wife, if she sees a girl sitting badly, she walk up to her and say, sit well. Men don't do that necessarily. It has to be in a structured place of conversation for them to talk about masculinity. But lastly, men many times die with their problems. A lot of men have issues and they don't bring them out. Because mwanaume ni kukaa ngumu. So you don't talk about your issues, and you are oppressed, and you have these issues, and then you don't talk about them. Men out there, I know men in this church talk about their issues. Because we need help. help. They say men don't get lost. They only take longer to get there because they don't ask for directions. But many times is men just don't feel free to talk through their challenges. So what kind of men of integrity are we looking for? We've read two scriptures today, and I want to summarize all of that from 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. Let me read it, then I'll say three things. When David's time to die drew near, he commanded Solomon, his son, saying, you see here, there's a father talking to the son. Fathers play a very crucial role in being able to model masculinity, to call out the woman in a girl, to call out the man in a boy. Men, fathers play a very crucial role. And here it's David talking to the son, Solomon, who is to take over. Listen to what he says to him, verse 2. I'm about to go the way of all the earth. That means I'm about to die. Be strong and show yourself a man and keep the charge of the Lord your God, walking in his ways, keeping his statutes, his commandments, his rules, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you go, that you may prosper in everything. So what does he tell him? Three things. Number one, many times we say, "Manomeni effort," someone said. "Manomeni wallet." "Manomeni kukangumu." "Manomeni simba." You know, we say different things. The younger people say, "Manomeni kiatu and wallet and belt." But what does it really mean to be a man of integrity? What are the kind of men that will be every woman's dream and every child's desire? What's the kind of man who will be celebrated in society? Three things. Number one, this is what David told his son. Be strong. Be strong. So the number one quality is strength. That God is calling us as a man to be strong. What does it mean to be strong? See me so little. It's not muscles. It's not just biceps and six pack. No. I think strength is the ability to say no to temptation. It's what Joseph did. He was being tempted and he ran away. He said, "I cannot do that. This is against the word of the Lord. It's against God's will. I want to be pure." A strong man is the one who says no to temptation, whether it's sexual or whether it is financial, whatever it is, they say no to it because they want to be strong for the Lord. Strong men are the ones who stand with other men. I've come to realize I cannot just be strong by myself. I need other men who pray with me, who stand with me, or help me. Beginning of this year, I had an accident that almost killed me. And I was in hospital for a while. When I came back, I had a conversation with my children. And, you know, I just asked them a question. What would you have said in my funeral if I had died? Because I just wanted to hear what they think about that. And we had a very good conversation. And then after that, they asked me a question. "Dad, who are the two men who would have taken care of us? Two or three men had you died?" And that's when I thought about it. And I mentioned a few names. I said, one of them, two of them, we agree. The other ones, we don't agree. They're not very close to you. Men are strong when they stand with other men, not when they are alone. Alone is not great. Men walk together like PCMF. We walk together as men. Men stand together so they'll be strong. So he said, be strong. Number two, play the man. Show yourself a man. In other words, do the things that men do. And I'll say three things. Honor, duty, care. Those are the three things that men do. Honor. And there's some scriptures there. I don't have time to get into it. Honor is character, moral integrity that can be trusted morally. That can be trusted financially. They're not being the corruption that is killing our nation. Number three, they can be trusted in their word. Their word is trustworthy. That's honor, men of honor. Number two, duty. Men who are on duty as husbands, they are present. As fathers, they are present. As good drivers on the road who do not overlap, they are present. They play their role as good citizens. Men on duty. Number three, men who care. Are you sure I say men stand tallest when they bend farthest to raise up others, to take care of others? So men who care. Honor, duty, care. He said, show yourself a man. And then lastly, he said, and follow God. That's what David told Solomon. Follow God. Follow the ways of God. A man is only as godly, as manly as he's godly. A man who bows the knee before the Almighty God in prayer, in reading God's word, in fellowship, in church, that's a great man. Says, be strong, show yourself a man in honor, duty, care, and then follow the Lord. These are the kind of men, I believe, that God wants to raise. These are the kind of men that will make good fathers and good husbands and good brothers and good friends and good boyfriends. How do we apply this? Time is up. Men, let's build ourselves in this. Let's be strong to say no to temptation and to train ourselves through the programs of the church to be men like this, who are men of honor, duty, and care, men who follow God. All of us, let's pray and encourage the men in our lives. Let's pray for them that they'll not be destroyed by the enemy, but we will have good men. Let's prepare the boys, mothers, fathers, society, church together. Let's prepare today's boy to be tomorrow's man, because the future of men tomorrow is a boy of today. And lastly, let's celebrate the men who do well. Young people who are here, children, write a little note today and tell Dad, thank you for providing for us. Thank you for working hard. Thank you for doing this and that. Let's celebrate the man. I pray that in this church, there'll be no lack of men who are strong, who show themselves as men in honor, duty, care, and who follow the Lord. May the Lord bless you. Let's pray together. Father, we just want to pray that this word will guide us and stir us up and be able to lead us as men, but also the rest of us to raise up this kind of men and to pray for this kind of men. I pray that this church will have plenty of men like this, men of integrity like Joseph, who said no to temptation, was strong, who did his duties, and was caring and followed God. I bless this church. In Jesus' name, amen. Just outside there, you'll find some two books I've written, one on fatherhood, daddy's destiny, and a little one on five commitments of a real man. They'll be out there, just 500 shillings and 300. God bless you very much.
Let's appreciate the Lord even for using. We thank the Lord even for that word, and I believe each one of us, men, women, children alike, have been touched. So it's now a time that we are going to honor God with our tithes and offerings, and I'm reminded that you can also give your Thanksgiving offering if you did not give it last week, as the deacons wait on us and the youth choir ministers to us in music. us pray. Our God and our Father, we come before you this morning with much thanksgiving, even for the service that has just gone on, even for your word, that we may be strong, we may play our part, and we may follow you, Lord, in our lives, Lord. As men, let us stand to be counted. We thank you even for these gifts that have been offered by your people. May you bless them, may you sanctify them, even as they are used for the extension of your kingdom. We honor you and we thank you, for it's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is on the PowerPoint. Sound the battle cry.
And minds, the knowledge and love of God, and with Son Jesus Christ our Lord, the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you now and always.